Welcome back to another show of Uncomfortable. I'm Kirk Moose. I'm joined by Vince. And once again, we're going to visit the topic of the difficulty of getting into the secret place. Last show, we paused on the topic because we knew we could go on all day. And we're trying to demystify and kind of de-spookify this getting in the secret place thing, right? We don't want people to think it's some ooky spooky thing to where it's like some kind of Christian magic, because that's not what it is at all. It's literally about getting deeper into the presence of God is really what it all is all about. It's about you in your personal time, not waiting for the corporate environment, but in your personal time, whether, like you said last week, Vince, whether it be in your car or in your home or in your closet or in, you know, your backyard, wherever you are, you're giving space to get closer to the Lord so that he can speak to you and minister to you on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah, I have a friend that looks at it like, what is it? They as they've gotten older, what they do is, now they live in a part of the country where they actually have multiple seasons.
Right.
They don't just, like in Texas, it's hot, warm, we get a week of cold and back to hot again.
Well, my pastor, I think, says it best in Texas. He goes, you're lucky if you get more than two seasons. He goes, if you're lucky, you'll get summer, winter, and one day of winter, excuse me, spring and one day of fall.
Yeah.
And he's right. I mean, it's like crazy on the way it does its thing, you know?
So this friend that lives up in they're a little further north than here. And what they like to do is their morning times, especially when on days they don't have to work, they will go outside on their back porch and they have a little table and a chair and they just open their Bible and have a cup of coffee.
Oh,
or
yeah.
A cup of tea or something like that. And for them, that's it. It doesn't matter if they hear cars driving by the road on the other side of the house. It doesn't matter if they hear airplanes go, and nothing matters, because for them, it all of a sudden becomes a very serene and peaceful and perfect place for them to be, because it changes their mindset. It changes where they are, and they've been intentional to create that place and to have those moments like that. And that's exactly what we were talking about last time, in your car, at your house, in your closet, wherever it may be. I mean, you could turn your office into that if you got an office somewhere.
Absolutely.
It takes a little more work to do sometimes at the office, but I mean, you can do it anywhere, and it can be, here's the really crazy part, and I'm really going to blow some people's minds. You can turn an elevator ride into a secret place moment.
Dude, people get so worked up. They think to themselves, man, people are going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm talking to myself. You know,
yep.
This is reality. You're in the year 2024. Half the world has AirPods and they're talking to someone on the phone. Nobody can see the little microphone in their ear. Yep. And it looks like they're sitting there talking to themselves as they're walking down the street. So you know what? No one's going to know that you're talking to God. It's going to be okay. They're just going to think you're on your iPhone. I mean,
if you're feeling nervous right now and you're like, I don't know that I can do that right now, hey, throw your AirPods in your ears and people won't think anything of it. They'll just think you're having a conversation on the phone. They're like, dang, he's in a deep conversation. So, I mean, look, I honestly, there's been times where I have done the same thing. Now, this was back when we had wired headphones.
Oh, yeah.
So I threw one of my headphones in and I had the wire hanging down and I'm just talking because I just was in a desperate moment and I needed to talk to God. And I'm like, I can't do this one in my head. I got to talk it out. I got to talk it out loud. And so I just threw them in there and did it. And
now
this was back in the day before you could Bluetooth things on the car.
Oh, I know those days.
And so that's what I did. And I worked through it, but it took some time and you know, like we were saying, it's not a mystical place to be in the secret place. It's the thing that makes it a secret place moment or to make it a secret place is the emphasis and the priority that you put on it, the intentionality of it, of creating a space, a headspace, a physical space, an emotional space for time with you and God alone.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if there's a million people around you,
with the primary intention of listening to him.
Absolutely.
It doesn't listening mean you can't talk to him.
Growing.
You can absolutely talk to him, but if you're going to go in with a one-sided conversation only to talk and you're not going to listen, it's not a secret place. It's a venting place.
Yeah. No. It's just you venting. Yeah. So you got to be in there with the intention of listening, of receiving, of hearing, getting instruction, gaining wisdom that comes only from the word.
Absolutely.
So, and that stuff is what builds you up. That's what gives you the opportunity to hear from the Lord. That's what gives you the ability to be like, okay, I didn't know how I was going to make it through today. Now I know I can make it through today. I didn't know how I was going to make it through this month or this project or whatever you're doing. And now I can do it. Now I can at least make it through the next few hours. So, I mean, that's kind of how it works for me. I know everybody's different. Everybody hears from the Lord different. Not everybody hears a voice in their head. Sometimes it's just these gut feelings. Sometimes it's these sort of intuition type things. But look, God knows how to talk to you.
Absolutely.
You don't have to hear like me. You hear like you. So,
well, that's no different than someone hearing things in the prophetic. If someone flows prophetically, some people are seers. They see things. Other people are feelers. They feel it. Some people, the Lord just tells them like one or two little words, and they have to just trust and begin to just tell those, and then God gives them a flow.
Yeah.
You know? So there's different ways God's going to flow with each one of us, and it's not going to always be the same. Sometimes it will be, other times it won't. But the biggest commonality is intentionality. I'm going to say it again. The biggest commonality is intentionality. Because if we're not intentional with chasing after the presence of God, we're never going to get into his presence. Because God is not a puppy dog that's going to look at you with his little puppy dog eyes and beg you to come into his presence. He'll try to woo you, but he is not going to beg you. Why? Because he's the God of all creation. He's the one with all the answers. He's the one that's worth chasing. And he may give you the invitation, but you have to take that invitation and act upon it. It's just like the parable that Jesus gave about the rich ruler that had the wedding feast. Excuse me, not the wedding feast. He threw the feast, and he invited one. He goes, "Oh, I just bought some oxen. I've got to try them out." And to another, they said, "I just got married. I'm sorry, I can't come." Another one, "I just brought property. I got to go look at it." And the ruler got mad and said, "You know, go invite people from the byways and highways. They're not going to come in. Fill my home with other people that are just from the streets." And one of the things that we tend to miss in our modern culture is the fact that in that day and age, the culture is when there's a party or a feast, the wedding garments that you would be given, those were provided by the one who threw the party. And the only person that got in trouble from being brought in from the byways and the highways was the one who refused to put on the wedding garment, the one who refused to put on the nice clothes. And he was, they were told to throw him out because of his rebellion against what the host was providing. So the only way we're going to get in trouble when God puts out an invitation is if we're rebellious. If we come and say, "I refuse to participate in the way that you want me to," you know, if we become rebellious and hard-hearted. But see, if we come into his house, we accept the invitation, we begin to humble ourselves before him, we put on the garments that he's given us, then he is a gentleman and provides all that we need. It's only when we don't show the reverence that we're supposed to give to our host that we don't get the benefit of the invitation.
No, that's true. So there are, like we had talked about, there are some of those prerequisites. You can't come in with the wrong attitude. You got to come in with the right attitude. If you were able to walk in a room and meet the King of England, you can't just walk in all casual and however you want and be like, "Hey, what's up,
Captain?" You mean I can't run up to the podium and say, "Dude, what's up, man? I'm so glad that you're our partner."
So they won't let you do that. So yes, things are, you do have the ability to speak to God and with Jesus anytime you want. They have, because Jesus came and reconnected us with God the Father, we do have the ability to have blunt and honest conversations with him, but we have to have a proper respect for who we're talking to and know that you can't just be all careless and carefree, like whatever, his grace is good enough for me. I can just do what I want to do and he'll cover me. That's not how it goes. Because most of the promises, and Kurt, you and I talked about this a while back, most of the promises in the word are conditional.
Absolutely.
On our response and what we do. And, you know, it's kind of like this. So you can almost look at it like this. The secret place, when done properly, right? So like Kurt, you had mentioned, coming in with humility, coming in with the right attitude, right? Understanding who you're addressing. And then reverencing the fact that he will still treat you like one of his children.
Oh, absolutely.
Give you that respect in that way that you don't even deserve. And if you look at it like this, the secret place is almost like, so, you know, the Christian life is referred to as a journey a lot of times.
It is a journey, absolutely.
Right. And it is a journey. Now, imagine back in the day in America, back in when cars were first a thing and they were just starting to drive across country. It was very far and few between that you had rest areas or little towns to pull up through, go to gas stations, all those things like that, right? So you, when you got in there, you fueled up, right? You got everything that you needed, you got your supplies, and you moved on. Even same thing further back when they did the wagon trains heading out west.
I was just thinking about that, dude. How many people out there, you know, and I dare you to email us, how many of you guys played Oregon Trail growing up?
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
I'm just saying, that was exactly the thing I was thinking about, dude. Just like back in the day when there was, you know, the horses and wagons, you know, that was really a trek. That was a journey.
And there was few and far between places for them to get these supplies they needed. And it's the same thing with the secret place. It is like our fueling station.
It's our outpost.
It's our outpost where we can get supplies. We can get what we need to get strong for the next leg of the journey.
Absolutely.
The difference between that and this is we can go into this place anytime we want to. And sometimes things are so hard in our life that we need to go in there often, right? And we should want to go there because we want the relationship. You know, some people talk about you've got to follow these rules. And yes, there are things in the word that you have to follow. But relationship is so much more important. It's they are a close hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. But it's all about the relationship, not the religion.
Oh, it has to be.
If you serve God as a religious thing to try to just get you by and so that at the end you can go to heaven and not hell, that's not living a good Christian life. It's not a full and fulfilling life. Let's say that. Yes, you may have your fire insurance. Yes, you may do everything you're supposed to do and you get there, but that's not living a full life that you were promised to you. And John 10:10, he says that I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a multimillionaire. Not everybody's going to be multimillionaires. That's not the case. That's not what he meant by an abundant life. It means full. It means prosperous in every possible way. It's emotional prosperity. It's healing from pain. It's having people and relationships in your life that with people that care about you and will carry you and carry those burdens with you.
Absolutely.
That's prosperity too. Not just money, not just, oh, I got my check. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I think one of the biggest misunderstandings of the scriptures is that they think that every time that God multiplies a blessing upon you, that it's going to be financial. Yeah. Many times I believe when God rebukes the devourer for our sake, it's a spiritual blessing that he's pouring upon you. And it's not that it's necessarily that he can't give you a hundredfold return in the natural, but right. God is not looking for me or Vince or any of you guys to give only so that we can get. That's not the purpose of giving. The purpose of giving is so that we can show out of the first fruits of our abundance that we are honoring God, as our Savior, giving him praise and worship through an offering of sacrifice of our life. And one of the easiest way to do that is using the money that we gain from the sacrifice of our time that we spend toiling to get money to provide for our family. And so we give unto the Lord so that we can show our appreciation and our worship to him and being thankful for all that he's done. It's not supposed to be just a religious act. It's not supposed to be playing the slot machine. It's not supposed to be this thing, I'm doing this to get something. It's supposed to be a, Lord, I love you thing. It's kind of like when with your wife, if you only give your wife something when you want something, you're not going to have a good relationship.
Nope.
You know, the one thing I've learned after the many, many years that I've been married is that if I give my wife something, I can't do it just because I want something. It needs to be, I'm continuously giving her love, giving her affection, continuously showing her honor and respect, and sowing of my time into her life. But if I'm only doing it if I want something, then it's not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I when I do it without any desire for repayment, then she knows that it's because I have an abundance of love in my heart. You know, and that's the way we're supposed to pursue God. We're supposed to pursue God in such a way that it shows out of the abundance of our heart that we place him first and that we're chasing him and the secret place above all things.
No, I agree. It's look, there's so much more that can be gone into this. There are books and there are pastors and things like that dig into this stuff out there. We're just trying to have a conversation and trying to bring that awareness to those that are out there that need it, that need that help, that need that just honest conversation. And it can get uncomfortable for people to, you know, you don't necessarily want to be honest and say, oh, well, I struggle with that. Oh, it's hard for me.
Exactly.
Oh, all that kind of stuff like that. And that's kind of just the main reason why we're just having the conversation and why we've been talking about this for this last episode. And then this one is because not everybody wants to talk about it, especially, look, pastors, leaders, you guys out there, you a lot of times don't feel like you have anybody to talk to.
Let's just be real. There's moments where pastors go through seasons of their life that the only way to really equate it is on this earth as if it was hell on earth, as if they were having a moment of being in the actual fiery pit of hell. The thing is when a pastor is going through those seasons, they feel alone. They feel rejected. And it could be just a minister, but someone that's in ministry full time, they have a limited circle that they feel comfortable with. Why? Because the general congregation feels that they should be above all things and have no problems. But the reality is we're all human. Just like King David, the king that had the heart after God's own heart, you know, a man after God's own heart, right? Just like David was human, so are ministers of God. And we all are subject to have issues that we're dealing with. Sometimes it's by our own creation. Other times it's because other people hold us to unrealistic expectations. Other times it's because there's situations happening either within our ministry or our church that we're having to deal with, and we can't deal with it appropriately because there's unrealistic expectations placed upon us and limitations because of unrighteous, unequal treatment within the body. What do I mean by that? Somebody that's out there could be saying, well, Pastor, you can't do X, Y, and Z, but oh, you better have grace on me because you know what? The grace of God covers all things. Well, what was that when the minister had some problems? What was that whenever, you know, they lost a child because there was a miscarriage or whatever. Why didn't you show the same grace and mercy to that minister that just was suffering through the loss of a loved one, a family member, a child, you know, maybe someone is going through a divorce, whatever that issue is? Why do you not give them the same grace that you wish to have instead of piling upon them condemnation or your own unmet expectations?
They weren't there for you because you lost $100 at the casino.
There you go.
And now you can't pay your light bill.
So the reality is like you said, Vince, we're not trying to come down on anybody, but no, we do want to stir the pot. That's what we want to do. We want to stir the pot. We want you to think about what really needs to happen. What really needs to happen is each and every one of us, ministers and non-ministers alike, all need to be questioning, am I in this for myself? Or am I in this to get closer to God because I love him? I want him. Am I chasing God or am I chasing the high? Oh, man, now I'm going to really stir some feathers up. Am I going to church and praising God because I love my Savior and I'm gracious and thankful for all that he did for me and the sacrifice that he made for me? Or am I simply going to church so that I can feel high when the Holy Spirit falls? And I've heard people say it.
See me.
You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, I just want to go get high in the Spirit." Great. I'm glad that's good for you. But the purpose of you being there, and I hope to God that you didn't mean it the way it sounded, but the purpose of you being there is to go get in the presence of God to praise his name because he is God, not so that you can have a feeling.
Well, it's also like one of the other things that we're hoping that happens in this is to create a space for honest conversations.
You know, absolutely.
Like, look, your pastor may not ever come to you directly and be like, "Hey, you know, Joe or Susie, I'm struggling with this." And that's fine. They don't have to. I mean, they may have their people that they go to for that. But just knowing that your leader or somebody like that is human and is struggling as well, you can go and have that conversation and be like, "Hey, look, Pastor, I know that we all struggle with these different things. Would you mind sharing how you've gotten through it?" And know
absolutely
that they may have been there, or being like, "Listen, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I know you guys are probably having a hard time right now with X, Y, and Z, whatever they may be going through, or if you're in the case of a loss of a child or something like that. You know, hey, we're praying for you. We're standing with you. And I might not personally be able to understand the hell that you're going through or whatever you're dealing with, but I'm here and I'm not backing down."
That's right.
And that's part of what the body does. And part of you knowing sometimes getting in the secret place, God will share with you, "Hey, pray for your leaders because they're hurting right now. Hey, there's somebody on the other side of the planet that's a missionary. You may or may not have met them. Pray for them." That's part of getting in the secret place too, so that you as a brother or sister in Christ can share one another's burdens.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't come, I mean, look, if we don't talk about these things, whether they're uncomfortable, whether they hurt, and if you think Kirk and I have this all together when we're having this conversation, you picked the wrong two dudes, because we're still walking through this every day. Well,
here's the reality. Reality is anytime you listen to a minister speak, 90% of the time that pastor is preaching something that God's already preached to their heart.
Yep.
So the very thing that they're talking to you about is something God's dealing with them about. And that's just reality.
And or has dealt with them about.
Yeah. Exactly. It's either they are or it has recently, one of the two. And the thing is we've got to get to this point to where we stop chasing the McDonald's mentality when it comes to Christ and getting closer to him. And begin to chase the presence of God for the absolute need of being closer to him. Why would we need to be closer to God? Now, that is a real easy thing. Because there's certain things God wants to share with each and every one of us that he's not going to shout across the room. There's some things that he may want to share with you about your business, about your marriage, about XYZ situation that only you know about, that he's not willing to share with everyone else in the world, but he wants to whisper to your heart with. But if you don't stay in the shadow of the Almighty, he can't get to you because you're too far away for the whisper to reach you. So there's seasons where we've got to intentionally pursue him get deeper into his presence.
To get those things out either.
Oh, dude, you're no kidding. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people talk about not wanting to go to a camp meeting because someone flows in the prophetic. They're like, no, I ain't going there. They might read my mail. But if you're already talking to God in the secret place, what's it matter? You know, God is not in the business of embarrassing his children. You know, first of all.
No.
Secondly, if we're all genuinely chasing after God, one of the things that I've learned a long time ago is God deals with me first. Before I may be praying for my wife, I might be praying for Vince, I might be praying for another friend of mine, but generally God goes, you know what, Kirk, you're praying for an X, Y, and Z, but what about A, B, C that's in your life?
Yeah.
I mean, and the reality is when I get A, B, C in line, amazingly, things begin to flow so much better. And it seems like some of the things that were in the other person's life were already adjusted. But when I stopped focusing on the other person and what God was trying to do with me, it's like it opened the door for God to do things in the other realm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's it's funny, though, because we're like, you look at some people and you go, oh my gosh, I want to be just like that. I want to be able to speak the word like they do. I want to be able to hear God like they hear God and all that stuff like that. And it comes because they have spent that time there. They have made that sacrifice of time, right? And they're like, we're choosing to set to, I heard somebody put it like this the other day, and I love the way they put it. They said, how am I going to spend my time equity?
Oh, that's good. I love it.
You spend cash, you spend time. The difference is you never get the time back. So what are you going to spend the time with? I've told my students this before. Look, if God wants to come in and interrupt the class, he can do so, because he can do more with less time than I can do with a lot of time. So he could take 10 minutes of the class, and in that 10 minutes of just doing whatever he wants to do, he can do more to help them than I can with the whole 45, 50 minutes.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, a great thing that happened to us, Kirk, several weeks ago is we're sitting in the class and we get in there and the Lord's like, all right, just tell everybody to be silent for a little bit. So we did that. I said that. I said, just close your eyes, take a deep breath.
There you go.
Just, you know, listen to the Lord. And we sat in silence for 10 minutes. Honestly, I didn't want to talk at all. At that point, I'm like, I'm good, Lord. We can stay the whole class time like this. And he said, no, now you need to move on, right? So we did, but we spent 10 minutes like that. And I promise you, I felt like the Lord did more in that 10 minutes of silence than I could have done with the whole class time. So look, God can do a lot with a little bit of time.
There you go.
One of the things we mentioned, I think, in the last episode is the secret place time doesn't, you don't always have to have 1, 2, 3 hours to do it. Sometimes it's that intentionality. If you walk in and you know you've got 10 minutes, think about a 10-minute meeting. Think about you guys who are out there in business and ministry, and you got 10 minutes to tell somebody something. You're walking into the meeting prepared. You have intentionality. You're going in to get what you need to get. So you go in there, you sit down, and you go, all right, Lord, here I am, right? Like, just like Samuel told God when he called him, he's like, here I am, Lord. Here I am, your servant, right? And God spoke to him, even at a young age. So it's the same for us now. It's just, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm here to listen. What do you need to tell me? And it might be, like Kirk said, you got to deal with yourself. You got to deal with some things that's what's holding you back. Sometimes it's, hey, I need you to be softer with this person that you got an attitude with. You know what I mean? So there's just different things like that he may share with you, and you might not like what he has to say, but I promise you it'll be more beneficial for your life than ever before.
Absolutely, Vince. Man, I think you put that perfectly, man, and wrapped a bow up on that conversation for today just perfectly. Ding. You know, guys, once again, please, if you have a prayer request or have a show idea of a topic that you'd like us to discuss, please reach out to us. You can email us at info@mooseministries.org, or you can send us a message through the website, going through the contact page at mooseministries.org as well. If you have a prayer request or a prayer need, please reach out to us. We want to hear from you and join you in prayer. Guys, God bless you and have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next time.
See you later, guys.